I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Off Topic Hot Topic, a bonus episode of the Hunting Seasons podcast. I'm Damask Leary.
I'm Broderick Gordis.
Tom's house was broken into when he confronted the burglar, and then he had to go have eye surgery, and then my son had to go over and help, and then my son, he rolled over his car 5 times on the way home.
Off Topic Hot Topic.
That's whatever you were talking about for you.
In case you don't know, Off Topic Hot Topic is where we talk about the headlines of the TV and entertainment world and discuss the stuff we've been watching, reading, playing, and generally consuming. You should also know we love getting topic suggestions from our listeners. So if you'd like to contribute a question, topic, or story to Off Topic Hot Topic, you can do so by emailing us at contact@huntingseasonspodcast.com or tweet us at huntingscast, just like listener of the podcast GJ Corbin did this week in relation to our review of Squid Game last week. They tweeted to us, "Since English remakes of Korean pop culture mega events were briefly brought up, what's your take on what we know about the US Parasite show?" Damask, I'd ask you to answer this question, but you haven't seen Parasite, so it's hard for you to have too much.
I haven't seen Parasite, very naughty of me. But I also haven't heard anything about this US TV show thing.
I'm not sure I had either. Maybe it came up somewhere along the way, or it made into an off-topic, hot topic, or maybe it didn't. But when GJ brought this to my attention, I had a look into it. And my first feeling is, why would we do this? Why would they do a US remake of Parasite, except because they decide that no one can be bothered to read English subtitles, obviously, or subtitles of any other language that isn't Korean. But what if I told you it's not a remake? It's an original story set in the same world as the Parasite film. Bong Joon-ho is creatively involved and will be produced by Adam McKay, who's writer of The Big Short and producer of Succession. Does that change your feelings at all? Not that you have any feelings.
Because does it change my neutral feelings?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds better than obviously no one from the original film being involved.
That's not a remake. And that's not a remake of the movie is great. Yeah. So I think based on those things, let's wait and see. There's potential there. It's not just, you know, an automatic car crash. While we're on the subject of Squid Game, something I forgot to bring up last week was the massive success of this show, not just as a foreign language show, but for those foreign language show for those outside of Korea, but in success as an original property. I was put best in a tweet by Aaron Fullerton, who you can follow at Aaron Fullerton. I want to quote this because I liked the thought of this. "I get why TV execs are so obsessed with reboots of major IP right now. I mean, if you look at the stuff that blew up in the last 18 months, it was Ted Lasso, Tiger King, Mayor of Easttown, The Queen's Gambit, Squid Game, Bridgerton. which I thought was a very good point. Original stuff's actually been really, really popular. And there's all these remakes happening at the moment in lots of other ways. There's a Turner and Hooch like show based on the original movie, and there's the Ghostbusters new film that's coming out soon. But at the same time, all this original stuff has been blowing up in huge ways on TV. I thought just this is another point of huge success in that I thought was worth bringing up. I wish I did it last week. Also, we talked briefly about the Korean cop gun thing. There's a minor spoilers for Squid Game, but at one point there was discussion about the guns and ammunition that police use. And we were confused about that. The gun in question in the series is said to hold up to 5 rounds. So it's got 5 sort of like slots for bullets in the chamber. But regulations state that police must keep one chamber empty and fill another with a blank, meaning the gun could only have had 3 live rounds in it. We wondered why that was. And the best answer I could find came from a Reddit user, EOW_HWAET_M8.
Right. Yep.
And he said, or they said, older guns used to have floating firing pins or firing pins attached to the hammer. Dropping the gun or any other strong blow to the uncocked hammer could cause the gun to fire unintentionally. So leaving the chamber currently in line with the line to fire empty prevents that from happening. which I thought was very interesting. Also, potentially the using the blank in there, one round that won't actually be deadly, was so it could be used as a warning shot, apparently. So I thought it was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Headlines. Some trade talk. According to an unnamed source for Variety, Marvel are developing an Agatha Harkness-focused WandaVision spin-off series for Disney Plus. How do you feel about that potentially happening to Mask?
Fuck yeah. Cool. I'm into it. I want more from Agatha. Yeah, no. So, and this will be with Catherine Hahn?
We would imagine so. I mean, why would you do it without Catherine Hahn? It's
yeah,
her
totally.
Character now. Spoilers cool, for cool, WandaVision. Cool. Sorry about that. I imagine surely the show has to be called Agatha all along. Otherwise, why would you even bother? This comes as news hits that Catherine Hahn-led Joan Rivers series that we reported in the last Off-Topic Hot Topic that was in development at Showtime is no longer moving ahead after the network couldn't secure the rights to Joan Rivers' life rights, meaning they can't use any of her jokes or catchphrases and wouldn't have been endorsed by Rivers' surviving family, could have led to lawsuits and all sorts of things like that. So that's no longer happening.
Okay.
I think we sort of all agreed it was interesting, if not inspired, casting.
Yeah. It's weird to even make that conversation public before you have the life rights.
Yeah, it was dumb. I'm not sure it was public. I think it was more trade talk that Variety was covering. They often cover what they hear from sources and stuff like that. It wasn't an official announcement.
Right.
So now don't expect it. It's not happening. In another update to a story we talked about last month, surprising no one, that massive first look deal that David Chase signed with HBO has become a discussion of what to do next with Sopranos. Chase wants to do another movie, apparently, but HBO are trying to pressure him to do a sequel series, by which I mean, a prequel series to The Sopranos, a sequel series to The Many Saints of Newark. In an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Chase said, quote, "The movie didn't do well in theaters, but it, broke the machine on streaming. It was huge. So now they want me to do another series of Sopranos from the time the movie ends until the time the series begins." It doesn't come as a surprise to me. In fact, it just seems to make perfect sense. Does that interest you at all?
Of course not. No, I don't want to dive back into the world of The Sopranos. I'm not interested. They're all terrible people.
In announcements, Netflix is developing a That 70s Show spin-off series called That 90s Show. There was a That 80s Show, I believe, at one point.
Yes,
I'm not sure if it was directly attached to That 70s Show, but there
I have
was
seen
that too.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
was that any good? I never saw any of that.
No, it wasn't.
It didn't last very long, I don't think. The show, That 90s Show, will be set in 1995 and will focus on Eric and Donna's daughter, Leia. Kurtwood Smith and Deborah Jo Rupp are reprising their roles as Red and Kitty Ford, but no word yet on if Topher Grace, Laura Prepon, or anyone else from the original will return or who will play Leia. Does that interest you at all, That 90s Show?
I mean, That 70s Show doesn't really interest me very much. I don't know. Is it going to be, I guess, a show with a laugh track? Because that really...
Yes.
It's really hard for me to jump on that kind of show. I think it was just called Mum or something, which is with Anna Faris and Alison Janney, which sounds totally up my alley, but I have never watched an episode simply because of a laugh track. I just can't do it.
I think the thing that was sad for me, I know shows like Pen 15 are doing this a little bit, more early 2000s, but the idea that the 90s are now nostalgic enough to be a That 90s Show, what are the 90s tropes? They're going to be wearing plaid and listening to grunge and playing
N64, Spice Girls and...
Spice Girls is a big
all
one.
All that stuff. I mean, it's exactly the same when That 70s Show came out when we were younger.
True.
It's the same amount of time. So I think kids have a different relationship with the 90s than we do.
Oh, absolutely. Apple TV Plus have greenlit Brett Goldstein and Bill Lawrence series Shrinking will star Jason Segel, follows a grieving therapist, played by Segel, who starts to break the rules and tell his clients exactly what he thinks. Ignoring his training and ethics, he finds himself making huge, tumultuous changes to people's lives, including his own. I found this interesting considering who was making it. Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent, the best character on TV currently, and Bill Lawrence, who is the showrunner for Ted Lasso. And also just because it's focusing on therapy, which is a big focus of Ted Lasso Series 2, and that's turning that into another sort of comedy series, it sounds like, for Apple TV Plus. Does that interest you?
A little bit. I don't know. I'll have to see a trailer to totally get the tone of what they're going for, I suppose.
Are you a Jason Segel fan at all?
I mean, I don't dislike him. Am I a fan? Probably not, but he doesn't put me off. So I guess that's a win.
I think knowing, like, Brett Goldstein has earned my attention at this point. And the fact that he's doing anything, I'm going to probably pay attention to, especially if he's writing for it. I also missed the announcement. This is back from July of The After Party. Have you heard about The After Party? It's a TV series coming to Apple TV Plus.
No.
It's a murder mystery show created and directed by Chris Miller and showrun by Philip Lord, a.k.a. Lord and Miller, who made 21 Jump Street 1 and 2, The Lego Movie, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Cool.
It's going to be starring Tiffany Haddish, Alana Glazer, I think that's her name, from Broad City, Sam Richardson, Ben Schwartz, Parks and Rec, John Early from Search Party, and Dave Franco, among others. The official synopsis, The After Party centers on a murder mystery at a high school reunion. Each of the 8 episodes features a retelling of the same night told through a different character's perspective, each with its own unique visual style and film genre to match the teller's personality. It'll be premiering on Apple TV Plus in January 2022. And the trailer looks like the little teaser for it looks pretty cool. I'm officially excited about this show and want to check it out when it comes out. I don't know if that interests you.
It does, actually. I mean, I like all those people. So, sure, I will check it out.
There's some very cool talent involved with that one. And casting news, actually some casting unnews to begin with. Emilio Estevez will not return as Coach Bombay for season 2 of Disney Plus series The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, as he will not comply with the... he has declined to provide assurances that he would comply with vaccine mandates. Sounds like the perfect excuse to sub in Joshua Jackson, if you ask me.
Yes. I mean, I'd probably watch it if Joshua Jackson was in it.
I don't believe he showed up in season 1.
Mm.
But yes, it's throw money at him, Disney Plus, or make me watch. Kim Cattrall has joined Hulu series How I Met Your Father as the future/older version of Hilary Duff's character. Presumably, this will be a lot like Bob Saget's role as future Ted in How I Met Your Mother, where Cattrall will be a voiceover telling the stories of her younger self. How do you feel about that casting?
Into it. I'm happy for Kim Cattrall to be doing things other than Sex and the City. I'm totally team Cattrall. So now I've got Kim Cattrall and Hilary Duff.
And Hilary Duff. Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck yeah.
Lost and Hawaii Five-0 star Daniel Day-Kim has signed on as Fire Lord Ozai in Netflix live-action Avatar The Last Airbender series. How do you feel about that casting?
He's so handsome. He's such a beautiful man. I mean, I'm still so scared of this series now that the creators aren't a part of it. Yeah, it's concerning. But I really like him. I think he's beautiful and very talented.
It's good casting. I think there's no doubt about that. It's interesting. If it's anything like the original animated series, we won't really see his face for the first 2 seasons. But I imagine they might just beef up his role a little bit for that. When you cast someone like Daniel Day-Kim, why wouldn't you? But at the same time, as much as I like this casting, I also am caring less and less about this live-action show. I think I told you a few months back, I was listening to that podcast, Braving the Elements, with Janet Varney and Dante Basco hosting, and they're sort of going through episodes of
I can't the believe Last I Airbender forgot to listen to that. Oh my God, I'm right. such an
well,
idiot.
Well, actually, I'd recommend jumping into it because it's starting to find its rhythm a bit better, and the guests have been really good lately. And I was driving back... Yeah, I was driving back today and I was listening back to an episode that's a couple of weeks old now where they got Jeremy Zuckerman, who's the composer of all the music for Avatar and for Korra on, who I think his work is incredible. And listening to that and them very, very gently, like, making us aware that they're, you know, we know that Avatar Studios is doing a thing, but gently, they obviously know a bit more about what's going on, and just even hinting about the quality that, like, just some things were said that was like, fuck the live action series. I just need to know whatever Avatar Studios is making. And it got me really excited for a second to remember that there's stuff coming. Yeah, it's cool. For the next 4 stories are going to be about returning actors/characters for existing TV shows, okay? or existing franchises anyway. So starting with Jennifer Coolidge will reprise her role as Tanya in HBO's The White Lotus Series 2. Big tick from me.
Yeah, great. The best I wanted to see her again, so yeah.
Absolutely. Very excited about that. Next, Cowboy Bebop's original Japanese voice cast, and that's the entire main cast, are returning to dub the live-action adaptation for Netflix. So we still don't know how good that show's going to be, but it's pretty cool they're able to get the original Japanese voice cast of the anime to do the dubbing in Japan for the
live-action series. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
That is very cool. That plus they got the original composer of the anime to do the music for the new show as well.
Mm.
I don't know. Some of those things make me think this is going to... Maybe there's something going on here.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're all excited enough to be like, yeah, sure, I would love to participate in this. Yeah, it seems like it might be okay. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully. Meanwhile, Hayden Christensen, yes, that's right, has been attached to reprise his role of Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader in the upcoming Disney Plus Obi-Wan series, but now has also been confirmed to feature in the Ahsoka series, which is pretty cool because his relationship obviously with Obi-Wan was that he was Obi-Wan's apprentice and vice versa. He was Ahsoka was his apprentice. I like that they're finding something cool to do with that character because it's obviously very important. It's cool for him who, I think those movies suck.
Hopefully he has the writing will give him a bit more to work with in terms of layers to the character than he got in the films. I don't think, he's an amazing actor, but what he was given in those films was fucking atrocious.
Yeah.
I hope that turns out well for him.
Well, I remember at the time that the prequels of Star Wars were coming out that there was another movie he was in, something about a house. I can't remember what it was.
Yes, it was Kevin Kline.
Yeah, and he was like, his performance was really lauded at the time, was apparently very good. And so it never made sense to me that he seemed to be the most wooden actor in history that they cast for Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars. Mm. And so maybe it just comes down to terrible writing and direction in the prequels. And when given something better, he'll be great. I don't know. I want to see if there's more to it than that. And also don't think he's really done much acting in the last decade or so. It's been a long time.
Who can blame
him,
really?
Yeah, true. And finally, in this news of people returning to things, Kiernan Shipka, her Sabrina Spellman of the now-cancelled Chilling Adventures of Sabrina series, will be making her way to Riverdale's upcoming sixth season, will apparently be teaming up with Cheryl Blossom. Don't know if that piques your interest at all, Damask? Not really?
It's okay. dark days at the moment. I watched a great, I can't remember what it is now, but I watched a great video essay on YouTube, and it was someone really going in depth and analyzing Riverdale and just what the ways in which the creator just because he owns pretty much all the properties, so Sabrina and Riverdale and all that stuff is just destroying them because he has this very singular focus on making it hypersexual and stuff and devoid of any kind of narrative value. It was really good. It was it went in and it was very enjoyable. Sure. I feel bad for everyone involved.
You say they're destroying their properties, but I don't know. Is Riverdale relatively successful? It's got its fifth season or whatever it is now. It's obviously doing quite well, or sixth season.
I think it's more in terms of, Archie. Sorry, Pearl is growling in the background. I apologize. The character of Archie was such a beloved and really protected IP. And since this guy has kind of taken over control, now Archie is like a joke, which I think is probably a bit sad. So not in terms of popularity. I mean, in terms of its position in pop culture and
I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone who was a fan of those series. For me, Archie, for the longest time, knowing or hearing about Archie, I think about that one scene where they throw Homer out of a car in The Simpsons trying to stay out of Riverdale. Yeah. But also, it was kind of, I remember Archie just being the guy who had Betty and Veronica fighting over him. And that was it. That was it. Mm. It was he just had the blonde and the brunette who were fighting over him. And that was everything I could possibly know. And if someone said Archie, what are you talking about? It was the redhead with the blonde and the brunette. And like, I guess at least now I have some better sense of the identity of the show beyond that. I don't know. It's interesting.
But I don't think what you know of Riverdale in any way reflects what Archie comics were.
No.
So you still don't know anything about it.
But its cultural cachet was literally just that for me in a big way. Mm. And I got to believe that was the case for a lot of people, at least of our age range, and definitely people younger.
And now they think of it as a terrible show. Cool.
That has six seasons, though. I don't know. That's success on some level. In release date news.
Lee.
Release date news. Part 2 of Pen 15's second season will arrive on Hulu on December 3rd. Coming up very, very soon. So I look forward to.
Tell you what, Brad. Tell you what. I'm fucking pumped for it. It's such a good show. And for those who are stupid enough not to have watched it yet, please watch Pen 15. It's so fucking good.
Easy watch too if you want to catch up in time for December 3rd. You'll be fine. Disney Plus's The Book of Boba Fett, the spin-off series of The Mandalorian, now has an official release date of December 29th. Rude to put it in that break between Christmas and New Year. How dare you? The date was announced alongside its first official trailer, which you can find online. Have you seen that, Damask?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I should. But
you should check it out.
Yeah, I definitely will.
You're going to watch the series, I assume.
Yes, I'll definitely give all these new kind of Star Wars series a go. I'm not necessarily convinced that I'll enjoy the majority of them, but I'll definitely give it a crack.
Speaking of trailers, a short, unsettling teaser for Donald Glover's series Atlanta's third season, featuring Paperboy, dropped this last week. Still has just a 2022 release date, not sure when in that year it'll come out. We knew that season 3 and 4 were written and shot at the same time, but a new detail I learned while researching this is that one of those seasons will be set in Europe, which is interesting. So there you go. You can find that teaser online as well. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's very short. It's more a tone piece than anything else. But I'm looking forward to that in a big, big way. Loving that show. The Crown Season 5 has confirmed an air date of November 2022 on Netflix, a full year from now.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I know it's a long, long time away, but again, everything's been affected by COVID, obviously. In cancellation news, there's just one big story here. FX series and decade-long pipe dream for this particular podcast host, Why the Last Man, has been cancelled ahead of its Season 1 finale. Life is pain. Showrunner Eliza Clark is determined to get Why picked up by another network or streaming service, but who could possibly be willing to spare any more hope on that happening?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Brad.
We're still reviewing it next week. I've only watched the first couple of episodes so far.
I've finished it. I've completed it. I did it last night because I thought we were talking about it today. So I'm done. I'm ready to go.
And we'll probably actually do another Twitch stream of that review as well next week if we can organize that in time. I actually started rereading the first few issues of the graphic novel just to sort of remember what it was like. And it's funny, it did come out in 2000 and 2003, those original ones, and some stuff immediately has dated, would not be included. And I know from the episodes I've seen, was not included in the new show for the better. But still, yeah, I'm fascinated to get back into it and see how much the show and the graphic novel line up. In renewal news, Apple TV Plus has renewed the Isaac Asimov novel adaptation sci-fi series Foundation for a second season. I've not watched any of it, but I've seen the trailer.
I haven't heard of that at all.
Well, every time I was watching Ted Lasso, it started with a trailer for Foundation, pretty much. So I know of it that way. It's got the guy that played Queen Elizabeth's dad in the first season of The Crown.
Yep,
that guy, he's in it. He's great. Okay.
Brilliant.
They also renewed Mythic Quest for a further 2 seasons, taking the show through to at least season 4. This is the show that's set, it's a comedy series set inside a video game studio that I have only watched the first season, a couple of specials of so far, but I liked and need to get to season 2. The announcement was made with a cute little video featuring Rob McClaney, is that how you say his name? The star and creator, Sir Anthony Hopkins and Jason Sudeikis, that you can find online as well. That's quite cute little announcement.
Cool.
Netflix has given the green light for a 4th season of You. Have you watched You? Again, a show that's been advertised at me a lot. I thought
its fourth season has just come out.
That was the third season, I believe.
You sure? Could
be wrong. Either way, it's getting another season beyond what's already out.
I watched the first season. And I was like, I hate this. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't watch the second.
Well, if you hated it, I hope you didn't keep going.
But then, I don't know, I've seen hints of where the story has gone. And that slightly interests me a little bit.
Mm.
So I kind of want to just jump in on this later season that's just come out. But who knows?
I've had some clients tell me I should watch it. They seem to like it. But, you know, what do the general public know? HBO Max's DC series Doom Patrol is also getting a fourth season. And in utterly shocking news, HBO series, probably never heard of it before, Succession, has officially been given a green light for its fourth season. At the time of the announcement, season three has aired its first three episodes, or two episodes at the time, with its strongest audience numbers to date, as in season on season, it's been getting stronger viewing numbers, which is something that doesn't actually happen that often, and it's pretty big news. Excited about cool. that.
Makes sense. Absolutely.
No surprises there. However, in related news, Succession star Brian Cox believes the show will end after its fourth or possibly fifth season. Quote, I would say possibly two more series and then I think we're done. It depends on what the writers feel. I know they've got an end game. They haven't told us what that ending is, but there is an end game. So it's just how they get up to that end game, whether it takes one series or two. He added, I think it's going to be hard to let go of it this early. I think it needs a couple more series before it really comes to a culmination. That's my feeling because its iconic nature is just hitting. I think people are going to want two more series, but there may only be one. Showrunner and creator Jesse Armstrong seemed to agree with Cox on its impending ending, stating it's in an interview with the New Statesman that there's going to be a very definitive moment when the story is over. It can't go on too long. How do you feel about that news?
Yeah, that feels right to me. Even how Brian Cox was explaining it. You know, people are really jumping on it at the moment, having two or three more years of people like watching it every year it comes out and talking about it. But then this is not a story that can be sustained for 10 seasons. Like it's clear, we're clearly going somewhere. And you'd hate for them to drag it out too long. But I also know these writers won't rush to get anywhere. They'll take their time and make it worth our while. So yeah, I feel like that makes sense to me. It feels right.
I agree. I just agree. I believe generally that less is more. It's like if you know the story has a natural ending, don't try and push it out any further or drag it out because you don't want to get to that ending because you just want to get more seasons for the sake of, you know, making more money.
Yeah.
Which, you know. But I think HBO is generally good at that, is if they're told, no, this is all there's going to be, they're usually pretty good with that, I think. So that's good news. Less of news and more of an interesting tidbit, though. J. Smith Cameron's character of Jerry in Succession was originally written for a man. She revealed in a recent interview for Bustle that the actress sent in an audition tape anyway and obviously got the role. So there you go.
Nice.
A set leaked video on TikTok from Westworld Season 4 shows Tessa Thompson performing in some sort of highly choreographed musical number involving heaps of extras. So Westworld might have a musical episode and definitely at least a musical sequence. Does that interest you enough to watch Season 4?
No. And I love Tessa Thompson. But does that little TikTok video make me go, that's worth another 11 hours of my life on this fucking disaster of a show? No, it doesn't.
Speaking of filming, Good Omens Season 2 has officially started rolling cameras. So that's pretty cool. There was another story. I kind of want your vibe on it before I go into it because there's a lot to discuss here potentially. Ruby Rose has taken to Instagram to share a sleuth of serious accusations of dangerous work conditions and intimidation on the set of CW's Batwoman. Do you care enough to talk about that or not?
We can talk about it, sure.
Okay, you may remember she left the show after one season.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do this is to just go through an article from Gabriel Sanchez at the AV Club. So I've got the relevant quotes here. It's a little bit, so please bear with me. In a series of posts, Rose alleged that she both witnessed and suffered gruesome injuries while on the set and endured numerous forms of intimidation from Warner Brothers TV executive Peter Roth. She took aim at Roth first, calling him out for allegedly having younger women on the crew steam his pants around his crotch while he was still wearing them. Speaking about her own injuries as Batwoman, Rose explained that she underwent emergency surgery for 2 herniated discs, with doctors telling her she could have been paralyzed. The actor said she was required to return to work 10 days after her surgery, with Roth telling her the crew would lose their jobs and would cost the studio millions if she didn't promptly return. She also alleged Roth hired a private investigator to tail her after she left the show. Another injury Rose discussed in her post involved a crew member who allegedly received third-degree burns while on the job. She said everyone on set watched his skin fall off and there was no therapy services offered to the crew afterwards. She alleged that moments after witnessing the gruesome injury, the cast and crew were asked to film a sex scene. In another incident, Rose said a PA was left paralyzed due to an onset injury. Rose alleged the crew member was blamed for the incident and the CW opened investigation on her. Rose blamed the unsafe work conditions on a rush timeline as the showrunner Caroline Dries allegedly refused to shut down production during the height of the pandemic, despite fellow CW projects doing so. Additionally, Rose called Dries a woman who has no heart and alleged that Dries only visited the set 4 times while filming or over filming. Rose also lambasted fellow actor Doug Ray Scott, who played Jacob Kane, calling him an abuser and alleged he injured a stuntwoman on set. It goes on, basically. I got another 3 paragraphs here. Essentially, Warner Brothers responded to the various scathing allegations. We're saying that despite the revisionist history that Ruby Rose is now sharing online, aimed at the producers, the cast and crew, the network and studio, truth is that Warner Brothers Television has decided not to exercise its option to engage Ruby for season 2 of Batwoman based on multiple complaints about workplace behavior that were extensively reviewed and handled privately out of respect for all concerned. So they're saying they fired her rather than her leaving the show, which she's actually said is the case, but that's based on apparently them not liking her behavior on set. So a lot going on there, obviously. I know you weren't a fan of the show. I know you're not necessarily a fan of Ruby Rose as an actor anyway. How do you feel about all of that?
Well, it sounds pretty awful, doesn't it? Sounds pretty, pretty bad.
It sounds awful. Yeah, it sounds truly terrible. Yeah. And what I don't know is whether many people have come out to back up her claims.
Well, yeah, that's... Which is interesting too. That's the thing. Particularly if people are getting paralyzed and... you know, their skin falling off and stuff. But I don't know. Maybe those people are scared to lose their job. Though if you've been paralyzed, like, or maybe there's like NDAs that have been signed. I don't fucking know. Nothing surprises me anymore. I think it's very possible and probably highly likely that this stuff occurred, to some degree occurred, and it wasn't a safe working environment. But I also know people who have worked with Ruby Rose previously, and she is, from just anecdotally, very unprofessional. So I think both things can be true.
Sure.
Yes. So, but yeah, I don't want to doubt her story at all. I'll as far as I know, I wasn't there. I'm going to assume she's telling the truth.
It is also interesting, I think, in light of this happening, not at the same time, but after the stuff that came out around the Justice League film. Involving behavior not just of Joss Whedon, but of the producers of that and WB in general. There seems to be a pattern here to some degree, which is interesting also. I definitely thought that was just something worth bringing up and discussing because, weirdly, I hadn't seen it getting around too much. At least some pretty serious allegations, I thought.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just because it's a show that no one really cares about
that
much.
No one cares about that. Yeah.
That it sort of just gets buried. But anyway, thought that was interesting to bring up.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book HostRed sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Damask, what have you been watching?
Oh, so many things, Brod. No, actually, I haven't been watching that much stuff. But I will tell you, today, very hungover on the couch, drinking an iced coffee with Angela, being like, oh, God, what can we watch? And immediately we turned on Netflix and this huge promo comes up for Arcane League of Legends, I believe it's called, which is a new animated series based on a video game.
Based on League of Legends video game, okay.
Yep. And I was like, oh, that art style looks cool. It looks like a pretty cool world, bit of fantasy, bit of cyberpunk stuff. Sure. All right. Steampunk and stuff.
Is it hand-drawn or is it 3D animated?
Both.
Ooh, interesting. Both. Okay.
Yeah. It's got a bit of Into the Spider-Verse vibes a little bit.
Now we're talking.
It's really beautifully drawn or painted. I don't understand those things, but it looks fucking good. Anyway, so clicked on that. I believe the first three episodes are available on Netflix now. We watched the first two episodes and Angela rudely had to go to band practice. And I was very angry because I wanted to keep watching. It's really good, guys. It's one, like as I was saying, it looks so beautiful, like, and the just the world design is gorgeous. Like you just want to step into that world and just experience it. The direction is really fucking good. There's lots of action sequences. The voice acting is fantastic as well. So it takes place in kind of this fantasy meets cyberpunk meets steampunk world. So far we've got kind of a group of street urchin children living in this underworld society thing. There's lots of intrigue. I don't want to give too much away, not that I know much at this stage, only having watched two episodes, but I really recommend people watch it. And I think you'll at least appreciate the art style, Brod, and the animation.
Yeah. No, you're selling it to me. It's interesting, also you said the first three episodes are out. So what, are Netflix releasing this like week by week?
I don't know, my friend. Netflix. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I know the three episodes are out at the moment. It'd annoy me if it was week to week because I just want to binge watch it. But yeah, it was right up my alley because I know that Critical Role animated thing is coming out soon. I'm really looking forward to that. But I feel like this will
February next year, I think it comes out.
I think this will be a nice kind of, I was vibing with it today. I was like, I kind of feel like that kind of fantasy story, fully immersive world, something totally different. And it gave it to me and it was fabulous.
Cool. Sounds good. So that was Arcane League of Legends, is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm sure for everyone at home, it'll come up in your like banner promo thing immediately. So check it out. Another thing I've been watching, because I haven't actually been watching that much TV, but I have been watching Critical Role's third campaign.
Yes.
So I actually bought a subscription to their Twitch, which I didn't think I would do, just so I could watch it earlier, which is great. It's really good. It's really, really good. I've only watched parts of their previous campaigns because, there's so many episodes. You start them and then I'll forget and then I'll fall behind and I just totally drop off.
How long does an episode go for generally?
3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. That's a big part of it too. I mean, you fall behind by 3 weeks and you're 12 hours behind.
Yes. And I think for people who don't play D&D, that doesn't make any sense. it's I've really been enjoying, putting aside like an hour here, an hour there during like a day or 2 days or whatever and just, they're fucking good at what they do. They're such great performers and it's a fully immersive story. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to following along for campaign 3 this time. Yeah, it's cool. Been good. Would recommend. Obviously, for those that don't know, I subscribe on Twitch, but you can just watch it on YouTube. Every episode of Critical Role is uploaded on YouTube eventually. So, yeah.
Is there a podcast version? I feel like this is a show.
There is as well.
I'm
going
to catch up. I'm going to have to just do the audio, I think. Mm-hmm. It's the only way I'm going to get to it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, because the things I tend to watch that are like that, that are long form. Like there are Twitch streams that I watch, but they are like almost entirely background noise. It has to be something that if I'm watching it closely, I'm enjoying it, but I can just as easily completely phase out and not feel like I've missed anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying this campaign. I think it was in the first episode. There was, I don't know his name, but he's kind of like the smaller gentleman with a like dark hair. Anyway,
I don't know the name either, but I know who you mean.
Yeah. He has a great character. And he's kind of like sets up this joke, but you don't know it's a setup. He just mentions a bit of a backstory, which then leads to an amazing joke later that I was pissing myself laughing. Matt Mercer was crying and couldn't continue. It's just really, it's quality fucking stuff and very silly and very fun. Also, the character of Fern is fucking incredible. So funny. Oh, my God. It's so funny and it's just pitch perfect and I can't believe. Sometimes
Fern's
I just
the fawn character, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah. And I just can't believe what I'm saying sometimes because it's so clever and just they're all cool. So quick-witted. Yeah, no, definitely recommend that.
Does it give you any like imposter syndrome or anything about our D&D campaigns that we're doing or make you feel a little bit inferior? Or does it inspire you?
It doesn't make me feel any type of way. It's just that, like, oh, these people are professionals and like the best at what they do. It's like, I don't know, I'm not going to watch, what's an example I can give? I don't know, I'm not going to watch an AFL game and then be like, oh, I don't kick like that because we're not doing the same thing.
Okay, sure.
I don't need to compare myself to people who I know I'm going to lose to. It's not something I'm going to be doing.
What else have you been watching?
This is another YouTube thing. It's very popular, but I've never heard of it before. And then, I don't know, I saw it on like...
Is it Blippi? I mean, kids fucking love that Blippi on YouTube. Okay, right.
I've got no idea what the fuck that is.
That's a joke for the parents out there who are groaning now going, oh, fucking Blippi. Okay.
All right. Why do you know about Blippi, weirdo?
Because I have not my friends are parents, a lot of them are. So, okay. You know, they all tell me about it. Anyway, go on. he's come up in conversation a lot lately.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's just where people are at. Yeah.
I might Google it, but I probably won't. All right. So I've been watching an interview show called Chicken Shop Date. Have you seen it?
Chicken Shop Date.
Yeah, Chicken Shop Date. Yeah.
No, it reminds me of that Hot One. Is it Hot Ones? That's like an interview show where they do the gradually hotter spice, like
sauces. Chicken wings with hot sauce. Yeah. That's right. So it's this female, I don't know, comedian, actor, I don't know. She kind of plays this awkward, very kind of direct character and she interviews like lots of rappers and hip-hop stars and R&B and soul people and stuff, though she started branching out now and interviewing a wide variety of people. But she just interviews these people in, you know, chicken shops around London and UK. And it's very funny. And I don't know any of these rappers. I've got no idea who the fuck they are. But she is very good. Her name's Amelia something, but you can just YouTube Chicken Shop Date and it'll come up. It's very good. She's a very funny lady and I highly, highly recommend it just to kind of waste your time, which is what I've been doing this week, really. Just funny little things to waste my time on. And finally, this is not something that I've been watching, but I can confirm, 2 years after the release date, I have finished Pokemon Shield.
Oh, my God. Just in time for the Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes to drop on Switch. What
but
timing?
I, you know, after I, you know, I was playing it because I was like, I never finished that and I wouldn't mind just finishing something because I was listening to How Did This Get Played, which I've been enjoying actually listening to the podcast. And I don't know anything about video games, but I enjoy them talking about weird and wacky video games. Mm-hmm. That's quite fun. So I was like, oh, what games do I have? I was like, oh, I've got Pokemon Shield and I never actually finished that. So I jumped back on and was playing. And I just realized that I don't really like Pokemon games. They're just, I don't know. Like I've finally come to terms with what type of gamer I am. And I've always kind of like distanced myself from that term because I, you know, obviously growing up when we did around that kind of gaming culture was like, unless you're like a real gamer bro, you're not allowed to use the word gamer. Otherwise, you're a fucking fraud, apparently.
That's changed now. Everyone's a gamer now. Anyone who tries to claim it, that fucking gatekeeping bullshit can go to hell.
Well, that's what I found, and I've particularly like listening to this. How did this get played thing? And they're just such like open, wonderful people. I was like, oh, you know, what kind of games do I play? Well, I love sandbox games. Like Minecraft is my favorite. I think the only video game that I just enjoy every second of it and will play it forever for as long as I can play it, I think. I mean, I want to be in the nursing home with like a VR set on just playing Minecraft until I leave.
You know that's the future ahead of us, right?
Yes,
is that we're all going to be playing fucking retro video games.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be fabulous.
Eventually
can't
just
wait.
Fade into the ether. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. So I always thought like there was something wrong with me that I couldn't finish games. Like, you know, after I finished Pokemon Shield, I then moved on to like, oh, maybe now I can finally finish Breath of the Wild. I can't. It's too hard. I find it stressful. I don't want a task. Don't give me a task. And I just feel like...
I think a lot of people would argue in Breath of the Wild, the best parts of the game are the bits when you're not on quest. Right?
Yes, like agreed.
Going to do the Divine Beast and then eventually take on Ganon at Hyrule Castle are the most challenging parts of the game, but nowhere near the best parts of the game. The best parts of the game and why people fell in love with it was the just exploring and maybe doing some shrines and sort of coming across stuff. And
Which is what I was doing when I jumped back into it. I was just like doing shrines and just kind of like jumping around and seeing what's what and, you know, using my little hang glider thing. But I just, as I was playing Breath of the Wild, I was like, fuck, I wish I could just like, I don't know, buy some land, start farming, find a wife, just like exceed the world, maybe like go like join a circus and travel around the entire continent, something like that. I was like, because I fucking love the world. It's so beautiful and so fun to like explore. I just don't want any monsters to exist.
Sure.
I just want to cruise. Back to Pokemon games. It's so paint by numbers and...
Yes.
You know, like the way that I do it is I just like beef up my team to oblivion and then I just smash through all the gyms and then it's kind of over. Like I'm not a completionist where I'm like going to catch everything and all the special cool guys hiding out. I can't be bothered doing that.
That's for nerds like me.
Yeah, I can't be bothered doing that. The stories are never compelling. I wish... I mean, I think obviously we really need a Breath of the Wild Pokemon game thingy.
You know there's one coming.
Yes, I do. Yeah, yeah.
Pokemon Arceus comes out in January or February. January, I think, of next year, yeah.
So I think I'll like check that out. But I've just finally come to terms with the fact that I really don't like the traditional Pokemon games.
We've become a gaming podcast right now. I like this. This
we
is
have.
Fun. This is what
I know,
our topic is for.
It's really hypocritical of me because every time you've brought up a video game, like, it's not a video game podcast, Brad. But that's just because I can't contribute to the conversation usually.
Sure. What your problems with Pokemon playing what is the latest version of Pokemon, right? Generation 8 or 9 or whatever it is exactly what most people feel about it. Even the biggest fans of Pokemon all agree that the formula is pretty stale at this point. They've really not done anything to change the general formula from Red and Blue back on the Game Boy in the 90s. It has been pretty copy-paste. They add like 100 Pokemon or so every time. And, you know, for the people like me who have got a living Dex, you go and get those Pokemon and... You want to stay up to date, and I will fucking do that every time. But even when they've tried to, like, there's going to be no gym, there's going to be no badges this time, there is, like, a gym or badge equivalent that's, like, you just kind of changed the name of those things. You didn't actually change the general formula of the game. And the funny thing is, as well, I kind of understand why they don't, because these games sell in the... tens of millions of copies every time they release.
Yeah.
Why would you fix something that isn't broke? But you also see how much people want something a bit fresh and different from the series, because this Pokemon Arceus game that's coming, Legends Arceus, it's coming out next year, looks to sort of be doing that Pokemon Breath of the Wild or probably more Pokemon Monster Hunter based on what we're starting to learn about it. But it is going to feel different. It's going to be an open 3D world where you're not going to run into random Pokemon in the grass, and there's not going to be gyms, and it's going to be a very different style of game while still feeling very Pokemon. And I think people really want that. I don't think you're alone in that. Did you play the Game Boy games back in the day? Like, where was your first Pokemon game?
We did have, was it red or, it was either red or blue. It wasn't actually on the Game Boy though. My brothers had like a floppy disk with.
They were emulating it. Cool.
Yeah. Emulated things. So we had that. Yep. Which was just like the basic graphics or whatever. That would have been back in like 99, 2000 probably. Yep. Yeah. Around then. That was the first. And I enjoyed that, but that's because I didn't have, you know, a lot of experience with video games. I mean, we had the 64 and stuff, but I knew that Pokemon was cool. It was the height of the cartoon. So that was cool.
Well, speaking of games that you do sort of enjoy more than Pokemon, you're talking about Minecraft. Mm. You also played Animal Crossing quite a bit when it came out. Animal Crossing New Horizons when it came out on Switch. Yep. You're aware there's been a massive update that's happened in the last couple of days.
Well, what does that mean? What can I do now?
Well, let's see. I'm going to try from memory to go through the list. You've got this character named Cap'n who will take you on boat rides to New Islands.
Okay.
You can now get a cafe in your museum. So there's a guy named Brewster and you can get coffee and like do stuff with that. Cool. You can now do farming. So plant vegetables, grow vegetables and wheat and stuff
like
that. And cooking. I knew it was going
to
get excited.
That's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear.
And cooking. Mm-hmm. You can also, they're increasing storage and stuff like this. There's these new things called gyroids that you can find in the ground. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that they've added.
Is there any
generally
way to, yes, I'm sure you would have mentioned it if it was, of terraforming in terms of like expanding your island? Because I feel I'm running out of space. Where am I meant to be going farming?
No, you can't expand your island any further. However, there is a new DLC that you can pay for. However, I'm going to tell you about the other option to do this in a second, called Happy Home Paradise, I believe. You're going to have to watch the trailer for this after we finish recording. And basically what it is you get a job doing interior and exterior decorating for these like holiday homes for guests. So you go to this resort. It's kind of like White Lotus, right? You go to this resort.
And they say,
I want a home that has this style. And right, they'll give you a couple of items and you have to include them. And the rest of it, you can, from the stuff they give available to you, you can design the home. They've added things. You can add lights and shelves that hang from the ceiling. You can add in like the actual wall dividers so you can make separate rooms rather than like you just have like these big studio apartment sort of things. And then on that island, there's also these other places like a restaurant that from the ground up you build. And then once you build them, you can see characters interacting them and using them as a school and a restaurant and all this sort of stuff. So it's not your island, but you get to like do the interior decorating and set up a school and a restaurant and stuff like this.
I'm not paying for it, but I love that.
Here's the catch. The original stuff I talked about, like the farming and growing stuff and cooking and stuff, that's free, right? You can download that now. That's there for you. The Happy Home Paradise stuff is paid DLC. It costs, I think, something like $40 Australian. Right?
Oh, my God.
It's essentially a whole new game.
Yeah.
However, it is also included if you get... So do you already have Nintendo Switch Online so you can play online?
Yeah.
Right? You can get an expansion to that called the expansion pack, and it costs about $50 a year, and it comes with that DLC plus access to Sega games. I can't remember which system Genesis it might be, and
really
Nintendo 64 games such as Super Mario 64, Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, all this sort of stuff.
Oh my god, that's very exciting. Okay,
yes. You can also play those games online multiplayer. So we could play Mario Kart 64 or something like that online multiplayer, right? Now, the trick is that if you get this as a family subscription, which costs twice as much, so it costs about $110, I think, all up Australian, right?
Mm.
You can have up to 8 people on it.
Oh.
Currently, Liam and I are on it. And we're looking for 6 new family members. So we can split that cost between us if you would like to join us.
Fuck yeah, I would.
I thought you might want to. We've got a few other people who are going to join us at some stage as well.
Yeah, because I grew up on the Sega, was it Master System?
Yeah, let me just check which one it is because it's different in I think the one of the consoles was called something different in Australia as well. Yeah. Do you remember what your favourite games were?
So we had Sonic.
Which one?
I think it was the first one. And then we loved Double Dragon, I remember. That was fucking sick. So we had a really old console. I think it came out in like 1986.
Yep.
So it's the Master System 2, I think is what it was. The one that's like a really sharp rectangle.
Okay. So it's the Sega Genesis, and on it has Castlevania Bloodlines, Contra Hardcore. That's funny. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Echo the Dolphin, Golden Axe, Gunstar Heroes, Musha, Phantasy Star Online 4, Rinstar, Shining Force, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, Shinobi 3, and Strider. And there'll be more down the line, right. I would imagine.
I only know
well.
Sonic, obviously. Because, yeah,
you said Double Dragon, not Streets of Rage. Yep, gotcha. Yep. Streets of Rage is a beat-em-up like Double Dragon.
Yeah, okay. Did you ever watch the Double Dragon film?
No, I did not. Is it any
good? Oh, my God. It's so bad. It's fantastic. It's got, what is the name? Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son.
Yes, yeah.
And was it Matthew Fox from Party of Five? Anyway, they're the brothers in it. And it's fucking amazing. It's very much in the vein of like the Super Mario Bros. Film. Like, it's so terrible. It's fantastic. So I recommend everyone watch Double Dragon.
Just out of interest, the N64 games that are coming, I want to see what you think about these. Mm-hmm. Super Mario 64. Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you. I do agree. Website. Super Mario 64, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Mario Kart 64, Star Fox 64.
Ooh. Star Fox.
That was called Light Out Wars in Australia. Sin and Punishment, Dr. Mario 64, Mario Tennis 64, and Win Back, and Yoshi's Story are so far. They're already on there. Banjo-Kazooie's coming, Pokemon cool. Snap, Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask, Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards, Mario Golf, Paper Mario, and F-Zero X are all coming as well. And there's a rumor that GoldenEye is coming because GoldenEye just got re-rated in Germany for the first time in over 20 years, meaning it can be sold in Germany again, which has been stopping it from being released. Nintendo really were pushing for it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And the guess is it's because they want to put it on this Nintendo Switch
Online. Oh, you know what I would love? Like, all of those sound fabulous. But did you ever play 1080 snowboarding?
Yes.
I fucking love 1080 snowboarding. And then there was like was it Wave Rider or something? Like the jet ski
Wave
one?
Race. Wave Race 64. Race. That was like a launch title too. I'd love to see that back again. And Pilot Wing 64.
I had that one. Like any kind of those like racing games would be amazing.
I would put money on Wave Race coming.
I hope so.
For sure. I don't know about 1080, but I do think that's a Nintendo-owned property, so it could come.
Oh, that'd be good.
That, and if they can put Mario Party 1 on there or something like that, it'd be great too. They just released Mario Party Superstars, which is sort of it's got five boards from the original three games on the N64 and like a mixture of games over the course of the 10 games. Over multiple systems and stuff
like
that.
Do you have that Mario Party?
The new one I do, yes. Ben does as well. Yeah, if you want to get it, you've got people to play with. I'll put it that way.
Okay, I might get that actually.
Yes.
I really shouldn't be spending my money, but why not? Why not?
That was a fun game talk. We never talk games. That was fun.
All right, that's the game corner. Bye.
I'm going to remember that in the future so I can bring it up again. Yeah,
you can't shut me down.
Actually, do you remember, this is a secret that no one knows about, but listeners getting an insight. Do you remember we, for a while there, were going to do Hunting Game, which is where
we had like 100 hours of footage and then my hard drive fucked up and I'm just like, all right, well, that's over. The dream's dead.
And it was us doing sort of like a Game Grump style, like 10-minute to 20-minute videos of you playing through Ocarina of Time for the first time and me sort of like
trying to coach you
through
it. Because I always said I never finished video games and I wanted you to help me finish a video game.
That's right.
Yeah.
We could do that again now, especially with the Switch. We could do it on Twitch even.
This is true. Ideas.
Have you been watching or playing anything else?
No, that's it from me.
Okay. What have I been watching? Succession Season 3 has started. The first three episodes are out. Mm-hmm. This is the first time watching week by week after we caught up at the start of the year. And we'll review this season once it's all released in a few weeks before 2021 wraps up. My initial thoughts are it's more Succession. I'll
leave
it at
good.
That.
It's good. Yeah.
It's good so far. Mm-hmm. I actually thought episode 3 was dragging a little bit, and then sort of by the time the episode ended, I was like, no, okay, that was a really good episode too.
Yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race UK season 3. Getting towards the end now. They're down to like the final 5 or so. Actually, it might be final 4 now because I watched the latest episode last night. And the biggest problem was trying to find a clear favorite. There hasn't been a super standout or even a couple of super standouts. There's a couple that are obviously more like well-rounded or obviously better than other queens, but no one that's made me go, fucking love them, you know, really hope they win sort of vibes. I found a least favorite very easily. They finally found someone to really dislike. Okay. Probably my least favorite queen since Scaredy Cat, I think was in season two of Drag Race UK. But yeah, it's not a bad season, but it's, having a hard time
that's
really
the thing
loving
is, like, because I usually jump in at the beginning of a RuPaul season and then I, you know, can't keep up and I drop off. But then I see so much chatter on the interwebs that I jump back on again. I haven't seen a whisper of talk about Drag Race UK at all. So I just keep forgetting that it exists.
They did their snatch game a couple of weeks back and it was fine. But nothing special. Although, that being said, this week's episode was probably the strongest episode so far. But when you're getting down to your last 5 queens, you fucking hope that the quality is up. Taskmaster season 12, I just finished watching episode 7 of that, so there's 3 remaining. This is just my monthly reminder to all the listeners out there that it is pure joy. It's waiting out there for you for it to be consumed by you. Please go see it.
Been watching season 11 on binge, which has been
how are
nice.
You finding season 11?
I mean, I'm enjoying it in the way that I enjoy Taskmaster.
Totally.
Do I have a favorite at the moment? No. It's fine.
I'm trying to remember last year's cast. That was what's his name from Will I Lie to You? And
And there's an Australian woman.
Yes.
Wow. I don't know any of their names. I don't know any of their names. I know their faces. That's about it.
Sure.
Oh, but the girl from Feel Good, who I've got such a fucking crush on. I'm just like genuinely in love with her. She's so beautiful and gorgeous and wonderful and funny. And I just think she is just incredible.
How far into the season are you?
Not for like 4 episodes or something.
Okay. Is Greg making fun of her for being like a kids TV presenter yet?
No, but I can say it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because of a bit. I was going to say, I really like this whole cast. I'll probably forget all their names by next year, apparently, because I can't remember anyone's names from last season already. Mm. But everyone's great. Morgana and Guz remain my favorites, but Alan, Desiree, and especially Victoria are a delight as well. Like, it's a really strong cast all the way through. Mm. Even my favorite season had one cast member that was like, I got no time for them. I think they're all strong this season. Really, really good.
Yep.
I also saw The Many Saints of Newark. This is the Sopranos prequel movie that we've mentioned a few times now. It's now out in cinemas in Australia. It is very The Sopranos. It is cool at times. It is rather bland at other times. It is super fan servicey at some points.
Yeah.
And just really weird at others. Some of the choices that are made, whether this show kind of wants to be supernatural at times, I wish it would lean into it more or not. I don't know. My big takeaway is, I think the film is fine. I don't feel like I've learned anything particularly interesting. I think maybe the stuff with Tony, it's fun to see him when he's young and maybe get a feeling of what the butterfly flapping its wings event was that started him down the path towards becoming the mob boss that we know Tony Soprano as in The Sopranos, right? But overall, I'm going to put this out there. I think David Chase is massively overpraised as a writer and creator. I think he now has this, or at least with some critics, as being some sort of genius. And I just don't see it. And I think the big reason I don't see it is because what else has David Chase done outside The Sopranos that anyone gives a shit about? Like, what is it? What else has he done? I certainly don't know of anything else.
Don't look
done.
At me. I don't know, Brod. I don't know.
And I just, I he has obviously got his fans and people will be devoted to him forever. And I get that. I've got that with certain creators as well. There are people that will always interest me. But I also believe that most of those creators have done more than one thing or one series. So yeah, I don't know. It's I just don't get the praise in him. Lastly, on Friday night, I went to the movies and saw Marvel's Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first film I've seen in cinemas since seeing Mortal Kombat, the reboot of that series earlier in the year, the very start of the year. This is the fourth film, technically, might be in Phase 4 of Marvel. This is the post-Avengers Endgame. This is after Spider-Man No Way Home? No, Spider-Man Far From Home. Black Widow, which you and I watched on Disney Plus. Shang-Chi, mm-hmm. which we've not watched yet, but we're going to see it next week.
We are.
Sometime or pretty soon when it's on Disney mm-hmm. Plus. And then Marvel's Eternals is the fourth one. Directed by Chloe Zhao. I liked it. It's funny because I was thinking about it afterwards. I was like, I actually went home and I did like a quick little like online quiz to try and just without thinking about too much, figure out what my general ranking of the Marvel films are. Mm. There's like this website that does this thing where it makes you go, which would you rather watch right now? And we'll present two Marvel films and you just keep answering that question over and over again, clicking on left or right basically until it gives you a list.
Mm.
And I looked at that list and it was relatively accurate. I probably would have tinkered with it a little bit, but I was like, okay, where would I put Eternals? And it's like probably mid-tier, like below Black Panther, but above like probably all the Iron Man films, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yep.
It takes a while to get going
because mm-hmm.
it's got a lot to sort of set up. These characters, I don't want to spoil too much.
Please don't, not even close to anything. I don't want to hear it.
Okay. What do you know about Eternals?
What the trailer tells me. So I feel like that's all you're about to say, but I just wanted to...
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Put it this way. These characters that we're following are thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. And so they have a lot of
it's
like
in the
backstory.
Name, isn't it?
Right. It is in the name. Yeah, exactly right. And so there's a lot to set up. There's even like a little like Star Wars almost... little like written scroll bit at the start that to set up the basic elements just to like get you informed like a fantasy film almost.
I don't mind that. Like I'm really
I don't mind
down
either.
For something that's like a bit more in depth or like world building heavy and it's just a bit different than I don't know. Like that's what like it's I still can't get around watching Ant-Man and the Wasp or whatever because I feel like that's paint by numbers.
That's- but- This is where I think you're going to enjoy the film. It's what I was thinking about too. It's like, while I have a good time watching something like Ant-Man, it is just like a bit of silly fun. I have a good time. It's not a bad movie, but it's quite forgettable ultimately.
Yeah.
Right? I know I laughed a bit. It did some fun stuff with the big and the small stuff, and we move on. Whereas this one, it's got bigger ideas. And I wouldn't say they're necessarily the most original ideas at all times,
mm-hmm.
but they're bigger ideas and they're adding bigger, they're like broadening the world of Marvel in general just by having these characters. It is huge in scope in terms of its general repercussions or general like the scope within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It also, the way that it's shot is big in scope. Like Chloe Zhao, if she's doing nothing else, she is showing us a version of the MCU that we've not seen before in terms of a cinematography of wide open landscapes and big, just bigness in general, which is like the scope on screen is very, very big. While it starts slow and it's got a lot to get through, there is one character eventually enters the film probably 45 minutes in, I want to say, and all of a sudden it's just got a little bit more energy and you're like, oh, I'm having a good time with this film now. Cool. And then from there, I just really enjoyed the rest of the film, I think. I thought the action was very good overall. There's particularly one sequence in a forest that felt a little bit different to any other Marvel film I'd seen in terms of how... I know it just felt a little bit more... visceral in some ways. I was quite impressed by that. I recommend it. I kind of want to watch it again. I don't know if I'm going to rush out to the cinemas to see it again, but I'm definitely looking forward to watching it again. I'm looking forward to more of this. I also think it's a film that, like, because there's a lot of setup, I think a sequel could be really good to, like, build on top of what we get from this first film. And please stick around. Obviously, Marvel films have end credit sequences. There are two for this film. There's a mid-credit mm-hmm. sequence and a final end-credit sequence that had, I won't say anything else, except some parts of our cinema were absolutely going crazy at the one Ooh. After the credits.
All right, then.
You'll find out why that is once you say it. The other thing was, it was my first cinema experience in a long time, and it was both a reminder of what's great about going to the cinemas and why I haven't missed going to the cinemas that much.
How many people were on their phone?
Fuck me, a few. there was a couple almost directly in front of me that just kept talking basically at, like, they weren't even whispering. They were just talking and giggling and stuff like that. And, like, my reflex, if I didn't think the film was getting close to the end, I would have dumped my popcorn over their heads. Like, I was that fucking pissed off with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that one of those, he was on his phone in that, and there was another person at the front of the cinema on their phone, or these other girls on the other side that were making a lot of noise for fuck knows what reason. It wasn't that big a cinema. There was like 30 people in the cinema. It was pretty small, and 15 to 20% of the cinema was talking all the time. It's like, go home. We're not in your lounge rooms anymore, guys. You have to consider other people. And I kept thinking, did these people come in and fake their vax certificates? Because there's no way these people are considerate enough to have got vaccinated. What the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my general feelings. Are you when are you seeing The Eternals, do you know?
Angela, I were thinking of going this coming week, probably early on in the week, we're thinking.
I'd say go as soon as you can and just to avoid spoilers at this point if you can.
Yep.
And hopefully we can, the next off-topic hot topic, we can talk about Shang-Chi. Because we'll have seen that on Disney Plus, which arrives, next week, I think, which is exciting. I think that's it. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Any other games you want to talk about?
I think that's it from me. Oh, I will say that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the four-part reunion, has come to a close.
How was it?
It was good. It was very long-winded for four parts. It's a whole month of reunion specials. Look, I think Erica Jane is a cunt. That's what I'll say on that.
Actually, speaking of Eternals quickly before we wrap up, have you seen the Rotten Tomatoes score for the Eternals?
No, nor have I read any reviews. The only thing I've seen is like David Chen's opinion on Twitter, which I felt seemed quite well balanced. But
We'll talk about that once you've seen the Eternals. We'll talk about that. We might do a little spoiler talk we do for Marvel stuff sometimes. Okay, that sounds great. That's it. That's quite a short off-topic hot topic for us in the recent times. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. Next week, we'll be reviewing Why the Last Man Season 1, possibly the only season, but hopefully not. We look forward to seeing you there. That will be on Twitch as well, hopefully doing that, so we'll let people know as well if and when we're doing that, so you can join along. We'd love to have people there to join the conversation, ask questions, etc. along the way. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye. Good night, everybody. And so,
hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast, then net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.